إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته، ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة، وخلق منها زوجها، وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، in one of our classical books of history and narrations, it is mentioned that once Abdullah ibn Umar was doing tawaf around the Kaaba as an elderly person, many years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw a man doing tawaf around the Kaaba who had a very old lady on his back. He was doing tawaf carrying this lady on his back. And when the man saw Ibn Umar, he rushed up to him, recognizing who he is. And he said, "O Ibn Umar, O son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, O Ibn Umar, this lady on my back is my mother. This lady is my mother. And she had a desire to go do Hajj. And I live in such and such a province." And he mentioned a far province in the Muslim lands. "And I could not afford a mount. I could not afford an animal. I could not afford to bring her in any other means except by carrying her on my back, walking from such and such a village. Oh Ibn Umar, have I done my duty as a son? Is the scale now equivalent? Have all of the good deeds that the mother did, have I now recompensed her the way that she deserves?" Ibn Umar responded, "You have done nothing in return. You're proud and boastful about this. You have done nothing. Your deeds are not worth anything in the scale. You're comparing a scale of what your mother has done to what you have done back to her." He says, "You have done nothing in return, but you have done good and Allah will reward you." The man said, "O Ibn Umar, I have traveled from such and such a province." "What do you mean I've done nothing? I have traveled from the furthest lands carrying my mother on my back, and you say I have done nothing?" Ibn Umar said, "And listen to this psychologist. Listen to the profundity of the response that he gave to this man. Listen to it and understand it and apply it in your daily lives." He said, "You have done nothing because when she sacrificed everything for you, when she did everything that she did for you, she gave up her time, her pleasures, her health. She gave up everything she had to raise you as you are. She did it out of a pure love and joy, wanting to see you flourish, waiting so you grow up and you live a full, healthy life. She did it for your life. And now that you do it in return, you are waiting for her death. Doing it as a pity, doing it as an equivalent, doing it in return for the favors. You're not doing it to see her flourish and live. You're doing it as a sense of guilt, trying to pay back what she's done and waiting for her death. So she is literally off your back. The psychology of what she did versus what you are doing are completely separate. How can you compare the two?" And how true, how profound is the statement of Ibn Umar. When the child is raised by the parents, when the mother and father give everything that they have, their money and their health, their wealth, their beings, everything when they give to this child, what is the motivation of the parent? The parent wants to see this child flourish and live. They will literally give their lives for this child to live. But when the child becomes old, and the child is entrusted to take care of his or her parents, the same emotions are not felt. The same patience is not there. The same love and tenderness completely absent. And this one reason, Ibn Umar said, you cannot compare the two. O Muslims, many are the khutbas that we have heard about the rights and status of parents in Islam. Many are the ayat and ahadith that outline this very, very important relationship. How often have we heard them? But have we truly acted upon them? Have we truly understood the role of parents and the status that Allah Azza wa Jal has given them? And it is not just in our religion. It is not just with the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذَ خَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. When Allah took a mithaq from the children of Israel, from the most ancient civilizations, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship none but Allah and show ihsan to your parents. From the earliest civilizations, Allah Azza wa Jal took a mithaq. Do you know what a mithaq is? It's a covenant of the highest order. It's a treaty that should never ever be gone against and contravened. It is a treaty between Allah and man. That is what mithaq is. And what are the conditions of this mithaq? Allah mentions many in the Quran. But the first two in every single series of verses that talks about it. The first two, worship Allah. Number two, be good to your parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord has decreed, such is the decree of Allah, such is the commandment of Allah, pay attention and heed. Your Lord has decreed that no one shall be worshipped except for Allah, and that you be good to your parents. This is the decree of Allah, the eternal decree of Allah. Be good to your parents. What does it mean, be good? Allah mentions the word ihsan. Ihsan is the highest level of good. There is no level, there is no word in the Arabic language that gives the meaning of ihsan. And the famous linguist of the Arabic language by the name of Al-Raghib al-Isfahani, very famous alim of the language, he said ihsan is a state. It is not an action, it is not a deed, it is a state of mind, it is a frame of relationship in which you give the most that you can and you expect the least in return. You give your utmost being, this is what ihsan is. You do everything you possibly, physically, spiritually, emotionally can. What do you want back from the party? The least amount, nothing. You do it out of ihsan. That is what ihsan is. Your rewards are not with your parents. Your parents are not going to give you anything back. No. You do what you do, you give them the most, and you expect the least back. And had there been a word higher than ihsan, Allah would have used it. Notice in these series of verses, verses that you have all heard, all read numerous times, your Lord has decreed that you shall worship none but Him, and that you have ihsan to your parents. If either of them or both of them, Allah says, if either of them or both of them reach old age and you are in charge of them, it is a blessing that they are old and you are alive. It is a blessing. Many have been deprived of this blessing. If either or both of them have reached this age where you're in charge of them, what does Allah say? You all know. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. Don't say uff. What is the meaning of uff? Uff, two-letter word. Smallest letter, smallest word in the Arabic language that has a meaning. Uff. Uff means you are irritated. It's the equivalent of tisking in English, or saying ouch when you're hurt. The smallest indication, the slightest indication that you are irritated is said by uff. The scholars of tafsir say, had there been a word that was less trivial, Allah would have used it here. So the first verse uses ihsan. The second verse uses uff. Ihsan, the peak. Uff, the lowest, but of what? Of what? Profound, brothers and sisters. Think about this. Allah Azza wa Jal said, don't say uff to them. Meaning, don't show and express your frustration and anger. If Allah Azza wa Jal had said to us, don't become irritated, don't be angry, don't be frustrated, Allah Azza wa Jal would have commanded us with something we could not bear. It is human nature to get frustrated, especially at elderly parents. It is human nature to get angry. It is human nature to get irritated. Allah knows this. So Allah did not oblige us that we don't get angry. We don't get frustrated. We don't get irritated. No, He obliged us with something that is well within our capabilities. Don't say, don't express, don't show, don't outwardly give the impression that you're irritated. Feel what you like in your heart. Control it. Be a man. Control it. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا And don't speak to them in a harsh manner. Notice Allah Azza wa Jal has created us. He knows how difficult it is, not just to take care of children, especially to take care of parents. He knows how difficult it is. So Allah Azza wa Jal put upon us a condition and a rule that is well within our limits. Feel what you like, don't express it. Don't make it outward. Don't show it to them. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا Say to them beautiful, generous speech. Say to them sweet things. Kareem. Be generous in your speech to them. And if they ask you, Allah goes on, Surah Al-Isra, if they ask you for more than you can give, if they ask you for things you don't have, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا Give them optimistic phrases. Inshallah, I'll try. Inshallah, we'll do that. Give them hope. Give them encouragement. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, even if they want more than you can give, don't get irritated. Don't get angry. Give them good speech. Give them optimism. Fill them and their hearts with joy, just like they had done for you when you were a child. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا And make dua for them. Oh Allah, have mercy on them as they raised me. Because they raised me, due to the fact they raised me, just as they raised me. All of these meanings are encompassed in kama. Beautiful speech here. We cannot go into too much detail. Beautiful speech of Allah. That Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving so many profound meanings. Because they have raised me, just as they have raised me, due to the fact that they have raised me. Oh Allah, have mercy on them because of what they have done for me. Oh Muslims, much can be said about the verses in the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ about treating the parents. But I want to mention an aspect that perhaps some of us have not appreciated. It is a psychological aspect. It is an aspect that I only came to realize when I became a parent. And so I primarily talk to those who are not yet parents or are still new parents. You will not understand the love that a parent has for a child until you yourself have your own child. You will never understand what it means to love somebody until you become a parent. You will never understand it. You never ever have a relationship, have a feeling for any human being like you do for your son or daughter. No matter who that person is, many of you who are still young, you have this idealistic concept of loving the opposite gender and getting married to them. Ask anybody who's gone beyond that stage. Ask anybody who knows the truth. That type of love, it is a selfish love. Why is it a selfish love? Because you want something back in return. It is a love of give and take. It is a love of fights along with good. There's good and there's bad. Your most painful moments and your sweetest moments will be with your partner. This is a part of life. But the love of a parent, the love of a mother, the love of a father, this is unselfish love. Unrestricted. You want to give up everything you have to bring a smile on that child's face. You go to work and you are motivated in your work to bring home some food to your children, to give an income to them. You will give up your life savings for their education. That is what you call love. No human being feels that type of love for another except a parent for the child. And when you think about it, and when you experience parenthood, you understand the power of Allah's creation. For verily, I swear by Allah, if the parents did not have this love for this child, no child could live on the face of this earth. A child is given to you. A child will be handed over to you, and it will be told, this is your baby, this is your child. You are responsible for it. You have to take care of it. This child will take up most of your time, most of your energy, most of your wealth. Your living will become dependent upon this child. Your entire life will change because of this child. The amount of sacrifice you must do cannot be measured in words, cannot be measured in figures, cannot be measured in quantities. Those who have children and are growing up with them, they know what I'm talking about. And yet you have not experienced everything because your children are still growing up with you. Your parents have done that for you. Your parents have done that for you and you don't even realize it. Because when you become an adult, you know it all. You're the one who thinks they know better than their parents. You're the one who wants to leave the nest and become independent. And you don't realize that a mother's love, a father's love, once you leave that nest, it will never be the same. Once that parent goes away as well, you will never have that opportunity again. O Muslims, this is the beauty of the cycle of life, that Allah Azza wa Jal blesses all of us with parents, and then He blesses some of us with children, and those children grow up, and some of us are still alive when our parents, some of us have our parents alive when we grow up. That's why Allah says in the Quran, if one or both of them are alive, take care of them, because some of us don't have that luxury. One of the companions, famous companions, his mother passed away, and he was crying greatly. So some of the other Sahaba tried to console him. And they said, it's all right, she is in Jannah, inshallah, she's forgiven. They tried to console him. And he said, do you think I'm crying because she died? Of course I'm sad she died, that's not why I'm crying. Notice how the Sahaba view things and how we view them. He said, I am crying because my door to Jannah has been shut and I don't know if I got in or not. She was my door to Jannah, that's why I'm crying. My door to Jannah has been shut. I don't know, was I a good enough son? I don't know, did I do what I needed to do? There's no other way for me except through her. And he quoted or he paraphrased an authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he said that the parent is the largest door to paradise. The parent is the middle door to paradise. The parent is the main door to paradise. It's an authentic hadith. So the Sahaba understood this. The death of a parent was not just a personal loss, it was a religious and spiritual loss as well. I don't know whether I made it in or not. A man came to Ibn Abbas and he said, I have done this and I have done that. I have done this and I have done that. He listed a whole long list of sins. And he had just repented and come back to Islam. He said, what can I do now? Ibn Abbas said, are one of your parents alive? He said, yes, my mother's alive. Ibn Abbas said, go stick to her, go at her feet, go service her, go give everything you have to her, because I know of no other deed that forgives the amounts of sins that serving your parents does. No deed can take that place of cleansing an entire life of evil, cleansing an entire lifetime of disease, than being good to your parents. Go to her and give your entire body and soul to her. Bring to her that happiness and joy, and that's your only hope that I can see for you. And he's basing this as well on many ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah, that hadith is in Bukhari, Ya Rasulullah, I have come from Yemen, the furthest corners of Arabia, nothing further than Yemen. I have come from Yemen in order to be with you. He has now become a Sahabi. He has elevated his rank in history by visiting the Prophet ﷺ in order to be with you and do jihad behind you. And in order to do so, I had to leave my parents crying at my loss and departure. He's trying to boast. He's trying to brag. He's trying to show his status. I want to do this. And I even left my parents crying in order to come here. The Prophet ﷺ asked him, do you want Jannah? Meaning, is that your goal? You want the pleasure of Allah? He said, yes. The Prophet ﷺ said, in that case, go back to them now. Go back to them and make them laugh just like you left them crying. Meaning, you want Jannah and you have done this? You want Jannah and your own parents are not happy with you? You will not be able to earn Jannah in any other way. Brothers and sisters, this man left everything to come to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He left everything to do jihad behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, you want Jannah? Go back to your parents and be with them. Make them laugh like you have made them cry. Do you understand the rights of the parents? Do you understand the Prophet of Allah is saying, do you really want Jannah and you're coming to me? You're coming to me to do jihad with me and your own parents need you? He told that man to go back to his parents and make them laugh like he has made them cry. Oh Muslims, the status of parents is something that transcends even religion. Generally speaking, if a man or a woman is abusive to Islam, cursing Allah and His Messenger, we leave him alone. We don't associate with them. There's only one exception, and that exception is the parent. Allah Azza wa Jal says, even if your parents try to force you to idolatry, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. They're forcing you. They're physically trying to shove you down in front of an idol. Emotional blackmail, spiritual blackmail, whatever they're doing jihad against you to do shirk. Allah says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Don't listen to them. You can't contravene the first principle, which is لا إله إلا الله. But وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. In this world, leave the affair to Allah. In this world, you must be good to them. Ma'roof. Be kind and just to them. Even parents who are idol worshippers, who are mushriks, trying to force you to leave Islam, you still don't have the right to be rude to them. If you can't be rude to someone like that, then brothers and sisters, let us look at our own lives. When have we been rude to our mothers and fathers? When they show us love? Oh brothers, especially the younger amongst you. Oh brothers, listen to me and listen well. The love that your mother and father have for you is a love you will never understand until you become a parent and are at that age. And the feeling that you have of being stifled with rules and regulations, that feeling is a feeling that you will miss. You will miss when you leave your parents' nest. And you will be even more strict with your children when your time comes. Don't fool yourselves. You don't understand the meaning of your parents' love for you. Every rule and regulation they put upon you is because of their love for you. They want what is best for you. Every single rule and regulation that they have upon you, every requirement, every desire, it is a desire for you and not against you. You won't realize it now. These are only going to be words to you. But when you have your own child, and you have raised that child in front of your eyes, and that child becomes a young man or a young woman, you will be even stricter upon that child than your parents were with you. Why? Because you're living in this society. You know what it means to be in this world. You know the ins and outs. Therefore, you're going to be even more protective than your parents were. Realize this and pay heed to it. And understand that they only do this out of love for you. And understand another point, which is even more profound. And many of you will not fully comprehend it until the age comes. And that is, no matter what you think of your parents, in terms of their knowledge of this world, in terms of their knowledge of American culture, their knowledge of civilization, no matter how you look down at them because of whatever they have or haven't done, they have one thing that you don't have. And that is experience. Wisdom, age. Experience and wisdom is not taught in a book. You don't learn it by studying. It comes by living through life. And you as a 17-year-old kid, you don't know what experience is. You don't know what wisdom is. Your mother and father have gone through life. They know what it means to live. Even if they speak with a different accent, even if they do things that to you look backward, they are more knowledgeable than you of the mechanisms of human life. They understand emotions better than you. They know what it means to live amongst humans because they have done it and you haven't. And a time will come, trust you me, a time will come when you will regret that you didn't take their advice more. Right now, for many of you who are young, you trivialize their advice. You think my parents don't know anything. As a 17-year-old, you know everything. And they at 50, 60, they know nothing. A time will come when you would wish that your parents were still alive so you can call them up and get their advice. A time will come when you will realize my parents did indeed know this best. And this is something that you should pray to Allah that time comes when your parents are still alive, because it is possible, it is the sunnah of Allah that children grow up and their parents die before them. This is the sunnah of Allah, the general rule. We should strive our best to make sure that when our parents die, whenever that happens, and we ask Allah to give all of us a long life, we should try and strive that when they leave this world, they leave this world pleased with us, content with us, happy with us, knowing that we have done everything we can for them. Because it is possible that a parent will die and you haven't done your job. You haven't done justice. And when that happens, you can never return the clock. You can never bring them back. And you will live the rest of your life in regret and remorse. Now that this door of Jannah has been shut, and you don't know whether you have entered it or not. Barakallahu li wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-azim. Wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum wa li sa'il al-muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur rahim. الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. What can we do to our parents? What can we do for them? What can we do to make them happy? If your parents are alive, first and foremost, thank Allah Azza wa Jal for this opportunity. Thank Him. Rejoice that there is still chance and hope. Thank Allah that Allah has blessed you to be an adult while your parents are still alive. Do for them everything that is humanly possible. Financially, many of us think that financially our wives and children take precedent. No, Islamically speaking, it is number one, the mother and father, number two, the wife and kids. We have to take care of all. It is our obligation as men. We have to take care of a lot of people. But number one on that list is mother and father. And that is why when a man came to the Prophet ﷺ complaining, "Oh Ya Rasulullah, my father takes this, my father takes that." Complaining that his father would take some things of his possession. After all that the father has done for this son, after all the money and time and effort and sweat, this man came and complained that he took bits and pieces, he took trinkets from his wealth, and he's complaining, "My father takes money without asking me." Do you know the response of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ. You and your wealth, all of it belongs to your father. You're now getting angry that he's taken $100, $1,000, after all that he's done? All that you own belongs to your father. You and all of your possessions. أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ. Who are you now to come and complain that he takes a little bit from you? And from this, scholars of fiqh have derived many, many rulings that the father owns the property of the son, some of the fuqaha said. And others disagree with this. The point being, from this, they took many rulings of fiqh. If they're alive financially, number one, it is not possible for you to eat a full meal and your parents don't have that. Take care of them in any way possible. Spiritually, make dua for them. Do what you can to show your love to them. If they're with you, alhamdulillah. If they're in another country, make sure they are taken care of. Calling them up, simple phone call. Do not underestimate the joy that you will bring your mother by calling her up on the phone. Do not underestimate that. The love that she will feel talking to her regularly. Do not underestimate the power of a conversation and being in touch. Make sure that you do anything. Every one of us comes from a culture and civilization. There are things that we do in that culture to show respect to them. Do those things. It is a part of your religion. It is a part of your duty to Allah that you do this. But if it so happens that they are no longer with you, if Allah Azza wa Jal has willed that they have moved on to the next life, then still there are things that can be done. First and foremost, dua. Dua for them. Dua that Allah forgives them, raises their ranks, blesses them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that of the best things that we can do when somebody dies is to make dua for them. When the parent dies, we make dua for them. Allah commands us in the Quran, make dua for them. The Prophet Nuh made dua for his parents. The Prophet Ibrahim made dua for his parents. All of this is in the Quran. Continual dua. One of the Sahaba, when his father died, he said, "For 1 year, I could not think of anything to make dua except for my father. 1 year, every time I raised my hands, all I could do was make dua for him." This is a part of being a good son. Make dua for them. Another thing you can do, give charity on their behalf. Give money and you say, "Oh Allah, may the reward of this go to my mother and father." Go for Hajj and Umrah, may the reward of this go to my mother and father. Sacrifice and Udhiyah, may the reward of this go to my mother and father. You do what you can financially and you expect the reward to go to your parents and not to yourself. Also, you can visit their relatives and visit their friends that you used to visit when they were alive. You visit their circle of friends that you used to visit. And you do what you can to bring about their memory in that sense. Because when you go to their gatherings, your parents' relatives, what will happen? The topic of conversation will always be your mother or father. And when that brings about, you will remember them with good, and you will pray for them. So this too is part of being a dutiful son. Basically, brothers and sisters, do what you can before it is too late. Do what you can, all that you can do. And there is no good deed after the worship of Allah that is more beloved than being good to the parent. In the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when a man came to him, wanted to do good, the Prophet ﷺ asked, "Is your mother alive?" He said, "Yes." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Go to her and stick to her feet," an Arabic expression, meaning submit yourself to her, because at her feet is Jannah. Jannah is around her feet. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. I conclude this khutbah with one hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he was climbing up the minbar, and when he got to the last minbar, he said, "Ameen." And when he said "Ameen," the Sahaba asked him, "Why are you saying Ameen?" He said, "Jibreel came to me and said, make dua that any man who finds his parents alive at an old age and still does not manage to get his sins forgiven, make dua that he is never forgiven." Meaning there is no hope for the man who reaches old age with his parents and yet does not gain the forgiveness of Allah. If you can't be a good son, you cannot be a good Muslim. It's that simple. اللهم إني داعٍ فأمنوا اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم ذنبا إلا غفرت ولا هما إلا فرجت ولا دينا إلا قضيت ولا مريضا إلا شفيت ولا عسيرا إلا يسرت اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم عباد الله إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صلِّ وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك رسولك محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة